In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Thérèse of Lisieux teaches us to go to God along the path of humility, making us children of God. It is the path of trust and total abandonment, without conditions, in the hands of our Father God. For this reason, she came to say, "My vocation is love, love without rest, day and night, in happy moments and in the midst of her suffering, love until the end." Lisieux was a small industrial city of about 18,000 inhabitants. It had manufacturers of linen, thread fabrics, cloth, tanneries, and distilleries. They went to live there as a result of the death of their mother. In Lisieux lived Zélie's brother, Isidore Guérin, who was a pharmacist and had two daughters. On November 1, 1877, they took the train, and after 4 hours of travel, they arrived in Lisieux to start a new life. Saint Thérèse of Lisieux tells us her feelings. "The departure from Alençon did not embarrass me in any way. Children like changes. I came to Lisieux happy. I remember the trip, the arrival at our aunt's house in the evening. I still seem to be seeing Jean and Marie waiting for us at the door. I was very happy to have such nice little cousins. I loved them very much, as well as our aunt, and above all, our uncle. Only this one scared me a little, and I didn't feel as comfortable in his house as I did in Les Boissonnettes, where my life was truly happy. Every day when I woke up, you would come to me, asking me if I had offered my heart to God. Then you dressed me, telling me about him, and immediately afterwards, by your side, I said my prayers. Then came the reading class. I remember that the first word I managed to read on my own was this, heavens. Every afternoon, I went for a little walk with Dad. We made our visit to the Blessed Sacrament together, visiting a new church every day. That was how it was when I entered the Carmel Chapel for the first time. Dad pointed to the choir gate, telling me that there were nuns on the other side. How far was I from suspecting that 9 years later I would be one of them? After the walk, during which Dad always bought me a 5 or 10 cent gift, I went home. Then I did my school homework. Then all the rest of the time was spent playing in the garden around Dad, because he didn't know how to play with dolls. How pleasant were for me the days when my dear king took me with him to fish. I loved the countryside, the flowers, and the birds so much. Sometimes I tried to fish with my little rod, but I preferred to sit alone on the flowering grass. My thoughts then became very deep, and without knowing what it was to meditate, my soul was lost in a true prayer. I listened to distant noises, the murmur of the wind, and the same imprecise music of the soldiers, whose echo reached me. They filled my heart with sweet melancholy. The earth seemed like a place of exile to me, and I dreamed of heaven. The afternoon passed quickly. Soon it was time to return to the Boissonnettes. But before starting the march, I had the snack that I had brought in my little basket. The beautiful slice of sweet bread that you had prepared for me had changed its appearance. Instead of its original vivid color, I saw in it only a slight pinkish tint, all stale and tempered. Then, the earth seemed even sadder to me, and I understood that only in heaven would happiness be found without clouds. During the walks I went on with Dad, he liked to send me to take alms to the poor with whom we met. One day, we saw one struggling on his crutches. I went over to him to give him a coin, but not feeling poor enough to receive alms, he looked at me with a sad smile and refused to accept what I offered him. I can't say what I felt in my heart. I had wanted to comfort him, relieve him, and instead, I was afraid I had caused him pain. Without a doubt, the poor sick man guessed my thoughts, for I saw him turn from afar and smile at me. Dad had just bought me a candy. I really wanted to give it to him, but I didn't dare. However, I wanted to give him something that he could not refuse, for I still felt great sympathy for him. At that moment, I remembered having heard that on the day of the First Communion, you got everything you asked for. That thought consoled me, and although I was only 6 years old at the time, I said to myself, I will pray for my poor man on the day of my First Communion. 5 years later, I kept my promise, and I hope that God has heard the prayer that He Himself inspired me to address to Him for one of His suffering members. What could I say about winter evenings, especially Sunday evenings? Oh, how sweet it was for me to go sit with Celine on Dad's lap once the game of draughts was over. With his beautiful voice, he would sing songs that plunged the soul into deep thoughts, or he rocked us gently, reciting poetry inspired by eternal truths. Then we would go upstairs to pray the prayers in common, and the little queen was the only one to get close to her king, not having to do more than look at him to know how the saints pray. After the prayers, we all went in order of age to say goodnight to Dad and to receive a kiss. The queen was naturally last. The king, to kiss her, took her by the elbows and lifted her up, and she exclaimed loudly, "Good night, Dad, sleep well." Every night, the scene was repeated. Immediately afterwards, my mom would take me in her arms and take me to Celine's bed. Once in bed, my usual question was this, "Pauline, have I been a good girl today? Will the little angels fly around me?" The answer was always yes. Otherwise, I would have spent the whole night crying. I was 6 or 7 years old when Dad took us to Trouville. I will never forget the impression the sea made on me. I was staring at it. Its majesty, the roar of the waves, everything spoke to my soul of the greatness and power of God. At sunset, at the time when the sun seems to bathe in the immensity of the waves, leaving behind a trail of light, I went to sit alone with Pauline on a rock. At that moment, I remembered the touching story of the golden groove. I was contemplating for a long time that luminous furrow, image of the grace that illuminates the path that the gondola, with its graceful white sail, must travel. There, together with Pauline, I made the resolution never to separate my soul from the gaze of Jesus, so that it sailed in peace towards the homeland of heaven. My life slipped by, calm and happy. The affection with which I felt surrounded in the Bussinettes made me, so to speak, grow. One day, I felt very proud to receive my confessor, because shortly before, at the age of 7, I had made my first confession with him. Oh, what a sweet memory for me! How carefully you prepared me, my dear mother, telling me that it was not to a man that I was going to tell my sins, but to God. I was so convinced of this that I confessed with a great spirit of faith, and I even asked you if I had to tell Father de Chelier that I loved him with all my heart, since it was God I was going to speak to in his person. Well instructed as to all that I had to say and do, I approached the confessional and got down on my knees. But when Father de Chelier opened the window, he saw no one. I was so small that my head was below the board where my hands rest. He then commanded me to stand up. I obeyed immediately. I got up, and raising my face to his level to see him well, I confessed like a young girl, and received his blessing with great devotion, because you had told me that at that moment the tears of the child Jesus would purify my soul. I remembered that the first exhortation addressed to me encouraged me, above all, to the devotion to the Blessed Virgin, and I promised to redouble my tenderness towards her. Leaving the confessional, I felt so happy and light that I had never experienced such joy in my soul. From then on, I went back to confession at all the big feasts, and it was a real feast for me every time I did it. Oh, how quickly the sunny years of my early childhood passed, but also what a sweet imprint they left on my soul. I remember above all the Sunday walks in which Mom always accompanied us. I still feel the deep and poetic impressions that were born in my soul at the sight of the enameled wheat fields of cornflowers and country flowers. I already loved the distances, the space and the giant fir trees whose branches touched the ground, left in my heart an impression similar to the one I still experience today at the sight of nature. Oh, truly, everything smiled at me on earth. I found flowers at every step I took, and my excellent character also contributed to making my life pleasant. But a new period was about to open for my soul. I had to go through the crucible of adversity and suffer from my childhood in order to be offered to Jesus as soon as possible. Just as the flowers of spring begin to germinate under the snow and open at the first rays of the sun, so too the little flower, whose memories I write, had to go through the winter of tribulation. On October 3, 1881, at the age of 8 1/2, St. Thérèse of Lisieux entered the Benedictine boarding school that Léonie had just left. At the Abbey, they put St. Thérèse of Lisieux in a class with older students, 13 or 14 years old. She was always first in her class. She says, "My greatest successes were in history and writing. In the religion classes, she never failed to respond, to the point that Father Doman, chaplain of the boarding school, called her the little doctor. She indeed solved with great precision the most embarrassing questions for a girl of her age. Her reasoning and judgments never deceived her, and the precociousness that had been noticed in her childhood was accentuating, especially when it came to heaven. She liked to read very much, and the story of Saint Joan of Arc excited her, wishing since then to be a great saint like her. But she had a lot to suffer, especially from a companion of about 14 years. Saint Thérèse of Lisieux tells us, "Seeing me so young, almost always the first in the class, and loved by all the nuns, I felt without a doubt a very understandable envy in a person who made me pay for my little successes in a thousand ways. With my timid and delicate nature, I did not know how to defend myself, and I was content to cry in silence, without even complaining to you about what I suffered. But I lacked virtue enough to overcome these miseries of life, and my poor little heart suffered greatly. Happily, every afternoon I returned to my sweet paternal home, and my heart expanded there. I jumped to the knees of my king, telling him the notes they had given me, and his kisses made me forget all the sorrows." Despite her shyness, her sister Celine tells us, "She struck up a conversation with the laborers who worked in our house to talk to them about God. There was, among others, an impious laborer from whom she could obtain nothing except the promise to carry a medal of the Blessed Virgin Mary on her until death, which she untied from the chain that she wore around her neck to put it on the woman." On October 2, 1882, when she was 9 years old, St. Thérèse of Lisieux received a severe psychological blow. Her sister Pauline, her second mother, went to Carmel when she was 20 years old. She says herself, "If I had found out little by little, maybe I wouldn't have suffered so much. But knowing it suddenly, it was as if a sword had plunged into the bottom of my heart. I understood that Carmel was the desert where God wanted me to hide too. I understood it with such vivid evidence that there was not the slightest doubt in my heart. It was not a girl's dream that allowed herself to be enthused, but the certainty of a divine call." Little by little, she was growing in stature and grace before God and before men. St. Thérèse of Lisieux became the tallest of the sisters. Something that she especially loved was giving something to the poor. Her sister in the convent says, "She was in charge of distributing alms to the poor. Every Monday, the poor came to the Boussinettes. At each ring of the bell, she would open the door and come back to me right away, telling me, "Pauline, there is a poor old disabled person. She is a poor woman with her little children. She brings one of them in diapers. The woman is very pale." And I read deep compassion in her eyes. She then ran to take, whether it was bread or money. Sometimes she came back all happy. "Pauline, the poor woman told me, 'God bless you, my little miss.'" Our father rewarded her schoolwork by giving her some silver coins, and she spent them on alms because this made her happy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.